May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. One of my favourite hymns among many in this season of Pentecost is one called Wind, Wind, Blow on Me, and it comes from the New Harvest Songbook. And its words say, Wind, wind, blow on me. Wind, wind, set me free. Wind, wind, the Father sent, the blessed Holy Spirit. Jesus told us all about you, how we could not live without you. With his blood, the power bought to help us live the life he taught. And it goes on to say, when we're weary, you console us. When we're lonely, you enfold us. When in danger, you uphold us. Blessed Holy Spirit. I well remember when I visited the Holy Island of Lindisfarne in the UK. It was with a group of deacons from all over the world, and we walked in a long line and at times in pairs from the mainland to the island, a walk of about 1 hour, 40 minutes. We walked on the mud of low tide in bare feet, following the row of tall poles that guided our path, as they had done for pilgrims since 698 AD. It's a journey associated with St Cuthbert, St Bede and St Aidan. On this walk, the wind was howling. It was an amazing experience, a spiritual encounter full of reflection, reminiscence and God encounters. But within the howling wind was a more subtle, gentle, warm breeze that touched me on my cheeks as it passed, and I could only call it the wind of the Holy Spirit. As the Holy Spirit came upon the disciples, so too it does come upon us. Jürgen Moltmann says, the gift and presence of the Holy Spirit is the most magnificent and wonderful thing that can happen to us, the human community, all living beings and this earth. For present in the Holy Spirit is not one of the many good or evil spirits that lurk about. Rather, it is God himself, the God who creates and gives life, who redeems and blesses. We know from the biblical text that the Holy Spirit came to the disciples in the form of a rushing stormy wind and tongues of fire with divine breath. This is Pentecost, the birthday of the church. And if we were gathered as a congregation in the church, we would be celebrating with streamers, although we do have just the beautiful setting here this morning at the church. But perhaps we would have had streamers, maybe even balloons, some birthday cake, party poppers. But it's not a celebration that comes once a year on the liturgical calendar. And once the cake is eaten and the balloons are popped, it's over. No, it's far more than that. It's the day when the disciples were transformed and launched into ministry. It's the day the church was born, and it's the day that God came to us all in the Holy Spirit. Jesus' death had been a tremendous blow to his disciples. The confrontation with the leaders of the people in collusion with the Roman authorities had terrified them, and because they were so afraid, they still gathered in a locked room for their meetings and fellowship, despite the fact that Jesus' last words to them were of assurance and peace. He left them telling them to wait, for the Father promised that someone would be coming to be with them. It was in this fear and waiting that they did very little except bring Matthias in to fill the gap left by Judas, because they believed that they still needed to number 12 in order to be the new messianic community representing the 12 tribes of Israel. But here we have devastation of the disciples. Jesus is leaving. They're in shock. They sense all hope is gone, and fear colours the scene as Jesus' followers secure themselves from the authorities. And then suddenly it happened. Jesus comes and gives them peace. He gives them his peace, and then he speaks the Holy Spirit into their lives. The Spirit was upon them. The account in Acts uses vivid picture language of the sound of wind like flames and a torrent of words. The 12 left the room compelled by a force to face the crowds they previously feared, and so the mission of the church began. Moltmann goes on to say, where the Holy Spirit is, God is present in a special way, and we experience God in our being. Our hearts are quickened and warm with a feeling that comes from deep within us, and we are changed. It's like we see God in a new and different way that is life-giving. He is in us, and we see him in our life. There are many names for God, the Holy Spirit. Among them is Comforter and Source of Life. This year of 2020, we have been living in a state of grief and, for many, fear. We've been locked down in our own rooms, our own homes, with fear. We've experienced catastrophic bushfires, communities darkened with smoke, an unprecedented loss of our precious wildlife, long devastating drought, hailstorm, and the coronavirus pandemic. We live in a very different world to what was 6 to 7 months ago. Our lives are changed. Our daily routine has changed. We have changed. As we look at our ever-changing world today, what should we be looking for? What is the most important thing that we should be looking for? I would say it's peace. Being at peace, which is the opposite of fear, stress, and anxiety. It's a peace like we read in Psalm 23, where David describes peace as God leading him beside still waters. Saint Augustine says our hearts are restless until we find this spirit-given peace. A peace beyond all understanding. This is the peace we seek through the Holy Spirit. One thing we're probably all guilty of at times is an apathy in our faith. We sometimes forget the power of the words that we know and have been taught. So in seeking peace, let us not forget our basic, solid, biblical Christian teachings. Such teachings as, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. Fear not, I am with you always. I will help you. God is our refuge. God is our strength. God is our help. God is our saviour. These are not just words in a musty Bible, but words that sustain our lives and quell our anxiety. They are Jesus' words. Do we only hear these words, and when he says, be still and know that I am God, do we heed them? Do we take them to heart? And it's when we do that, that the door of our heart is open and peace walks in. We are spirit-filled for mission to use gifts to serve Christ and this spirit that changes our life. God's presence is more real, and sometimes we are incredibly blessed by a very real presence of God. Sometimes we feel his presence to such a degree that there's a sense that nothing divides his spirit from ours. There are sacred spaces, thin spaces, as the Celtic saints would call it. It's like this lady said to me about a spirit-filled experience that she had. She said, "I was sitting outside having a quiet time with the Lord, and a parrot, a lovely mountain lary, came, the most beautiful bird of red and blue colouring, and he just sat. He sat so close to me and just looked me in the eyes, and he stayed there a while, and we were just looking into each other's eyes, and it was just like looking at God and acknowledging we were both created by the same God. It was like God, the bird, and I were one." Thin spaces, holy ground, sacred spaces, spirit-filled. Pentecost reminds us of the richness of the gift of the Spirit. It should fill us with courage and encourage us to respond to those unsolicited acts of faith, hope, and love which rise up within us. They are the evidence of the Spirit within us, leading us forward into the wholeness of truth and into the wholeness of ourselves. However unworthy we may feel, the reality is that God has saved us through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ and fills us with life through the gift of the Holy Spirit. I don't know what that statement does for you, but for me, such a statement, such a reality, humbly puts me on my knees. It's important to realise in the drama of Pentecost, the most important thing was not the rushing mighty wind or the luminous fire and the speaking in tongues. Rather, the wonderful thing about Pentecost was the fire in the heart of the disciples and the light in their minds, which sent them into the world to witness to the resurrected Jesus. And I reflect on this Spirit. And in Psalm 139, verses 7 to 10, it says, "There is nowhere we can go to escape the Holy Spirit, to hide from it. Where can I go from your Spirit, or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and settle in the furthest limits of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand will hold me fast." I look at the mountains with their peaks reaching into the morning sky and their base surrounded in a sea of cloud like islands. I look at a jet plane in the sky only visible by its vapour. I look at the observatory on the distant hill and its massive telescope that reaches far into space. And on a clear night, I can see the manned space station high above the Earth. I think of the sick and the dying in our hospitals. I think of places of relaxation, a park, the lake, a walk, the garden. To ask where God's Spirit is like asking a fish, "Where is the water?" We cannot go where God's Spirit is not. A new day dawned at Pentecost. A new wind had blown, bringing spiritual reward, empowering everyone to experience the power of God's Spirit. The life of the church is vitalised by the power of the Holy Spirit and guided by the new law of love that manifests itself in the life and death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. What remains is the church's continued response to God's invitation to new life. It's also an invitation to each one of us to renew our lives in service to the Lord. What God gave that day at Pentecost has never been taken away. It's one thing to be filled with the Holy Spirit, but what do you do with yourself then? I think the words of Edward Hatch's hymn say it all. Breathe on me, breath of God, fill me with life anew, that I may love all that you love and do what you would do. These are powerful words. Here we are asking God to equip us and sustain us in our purpose, in our lives, our mission here on earth, to love all he loves and do what he would do. We are asking God to fill us with his spirit of love so we can be more like him. We are asking God to give us his peace through the power of the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your people. Set us ablaze with love and the fire of your love. Amen.